It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden age. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levanier. In this hour, Radio Westerns. Later on, we hear John Daner as Paladin and Have Gun Will Travel. Right now, it's Gunsmoke, with U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon, portrayed by William Conrad, facing some facts of his job from April 2nd, 1955 on CBS. Directed and produced by Norman McDonald, it's the John Meston story, Bloody Hands.
Gunsmoke. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Chester.
Oh, come on in, Doc.
Where's Matt?
He ain't here.
Say, where have you two been the last couple of days? I haven't seen either one of you.
Well, I just got back from Hays City. Mr. Dillon sent me there to fetch some government papers. And you know what? I took the Santa Fe both ways,
you
Doc.
You did? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that beats riding. But where's Matt, you say?
He left a note, but he didn't say exactly where he was at.
Well, you mean he's out of town?
That's what the note said. It seems somebody told him where he could find Jack Brand.
Jack Brand? Well, what's he doing around here?
I don't know. I guess Missouri got too rough for him.
Why don't they handle their own outlaws instead of chasing him into Kansas for Matt to catch?
And Mr. Dillon says Brand's got three of his gang with him.
You mean Matt's gone out alone after four men?
Well, if I knew where he was, I'd go help him, Doc.
Oh, well, there's nothing you can do about it, Chester.
He worries me, though. That last holdup the gang pulled, they say four men got shot down.
Well, maybe they've quit. Maybe that's why they came to Kansas.
Wouldn't you ever hear of a bunch of outlaws quitting?
No, I guess not. I guess I was just talking to myself. Just...
Chester!
Oh.
Chester!
Oh, that's what you're doing, Doc.
Where is he?
Well, there he is, sitting on that wagon.
Oh, yes. Well, who's that with him?
Some fella give him a ride, I guess. Hello, Mr. Dillon.
Hello, Chester. Doc?
Hey, you lose your horse, Matt?
We left our horses out at Bauer's Ranch and borrowed this wagon. One of his riders will bring him in tomorrow.
Who's this with you, Mr. Dillon?
You've seen his picture, Chester.
Oh, my goodness. He's Jack Brand.
Let's get on, Brand. You first.
For sure. How come you let him drive the wagon, Mr. Dillon?
To keep his hands full, Chester. Here, take my shotgun and lock him up.
Yes, sir. Where's the others? I thought he had three men with him.
Well, tell him, Marshal. Tell him where they are.
They're in the wagon, Chester. Out of that canvas.
Mm-hmm. Well, are they all dead, Matt? All three of them?
They're all dead, Doc.
Bloodiest marshal I ever saw. It's just a wagon load of meat to him.
That's enough, Brandon.
It ain't hardly enough. I never seen such killing.
What happened, Mr. Dillon?
It doesn't matter. They put up a fight and I had to take them.
Well, I'll tell him what happened. Your lawman here hid himself in the grass and just waited for us to come out of that cabin. And then he yelled, so naturally we headed for cover. Who wouldn't? He just laid there and he cut loose of the shotgun. Tore up two of the boys that way. Then he stood up and he cut down Hank Smith with a six-shooter.
How come you got out of it, Brand?
I jumped back in the cabin and I give up. We weren't putting up a fight. He spooked us yelling like that. Make any man jump.
Oh, I suppose you're trying to say that you wouldn't have shot him.
We tried to shoot him. Who wouldn't? Any man's got a right to defend himself.
Oh, well, I never heard of resisting arrest called self-defense.
I never heard of no marshal shooting down everybody on the landscape.
Lock him up, Chester.
Get going, Brian.
Well, he actually think he was killing hogs, not men.
Shut up and keep bloody as
See, how come you brought the bodies back, Matt? Why didn't you just bury him out there?
I wanted more witnesses than me to identify him, Doc. Might save trouble when Brand goes to trial.
You say you were mighty lucky, taking four outlaws that way, man.
Yeah.
And you killed three out of... Oh, say, wait till people around here hear about this.
Brand's right, Doc. It's a lot of killing. An awful lot.
Oh, no, you don't. Don't get to thinking about it too much now, Matt. It's your job. You did it. So it's over.
It's over? Wait till tomorrow or the next day. It'll be somebody else. There's always another man to kill.
Oh, no, that's not the way to look at it, man. I've never heard of you shooting anybody you didn't have to.
No, I never did. But sometimes that doesn't help much.
So you look tired, man.
Well, I haven't slept since I rode out of here 2 days ago.
Well, now you get some rest. You'll feel better.
Sure.
Brand snug in jail, Mr. Dillon. He don't like it much, but I told him not to try kicking his way out, that I'd be sleeping in the office.
We'll both be sleeping in the office, Chester. I'm too tired to walk to my room. Take care of this wagon. And what's in it, will you?
Mm-hmm.
You and Doc can identify those men. We'll write it out on paper in the morning.
All right, sir. I'll be coming to bed about midnight, but I'll be real quiet.
Nothing could wake me, Chester. Not tonight.
Gosh, Doc, you sure I shouldn't wake him up and tell him?
It can wait until morning, Chester. Matt's too tired to do anything about it tonight, anyway.
I guess you're right.
Of course I am.
Okay.
Good night, Chester.
Good night, Doc. Mr. Dillon,
no, I've spilled enough blood. I don't want to kill you. No.
Mr. Dillon, wait.
No!
It's me, Mr. Dillon. It's Chester. There ain't nobody
what?
Here.
What?
You was asleep. You've been dreaming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll light the lamp.
No. It's all right, Chester.
My gracious, I come in and I heard you talking and I thought somebody was here. That moonlight ain't too bright. I couldn't see good at first.
Sure.
I had to yell at you a couple of times before you woke up. You was dreaming you was in a fight, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was dreaming.
Nightmares like that, they're just terrible, ain't they?
There's a bottle in the desk drawer over there. Chester, get it for me, will you?
Yes, sir, I know where it is. I used to have nightmares sometimes when I was a boy, but I don't get them much no more. Here it is, Mr. Dillon. A good stiff drink will do you good.
Thanks, Chester. What time is it?
little past midnight.
Jack Brandewick?
No, he'd be Bellerin if he was. But, Mr. Dillon, now that you're awake, there's something I ought to tell you.
Oh, what?
Well, me and Doc was having a drink over at the Alfragans, and a fella come in there and started talking real loud.
Talking about what?
Well, sir, mostly about how he's going to tree dodge and how he's going to tell you, too.
Oh?
He says he's a friend of Jack Brand's, and he's heard about how you caught him and all.
What's his name?
Stanger. Joe Stanger.
Yeah, I know him.
Well, you think he'll cause trouble?
Probably. And I'm not going to worry about him tonight.
Yeah, so that's what me and Doc figured. He won't try nothing tonight.
All the same, keep your gun handy, Chester. Now let's try to get some sleep. Him up, Chester. It's hardly dawn.
That's right. I'd like to throw a bucket of water on him.
Chester.
Oh, shut up, Brand. I'm coming.
I'm trying to. Come out there,
cousin yelling, Brand. What's the matter with you? Come on over here. Just unlock this cage, Chester.
What?
I'm holding the gun on you, can't you see it?
Where'd you get that gun?
All right, man. Come on over here, I said.
He's ain't over there. He's there. Hanging on the wall down here.
I'll take
your own sweet time about it. Been this chicken coop long enough.
Drop it, Brand. What? Oh. You're not hurt. I hit the gun. I got the keys, Mr. Dillon. I'll get his gun out of there.
All right, go ahead. Stand back, Brand.
You like to bust my hand.
You're lucky.
Lucky didn't kill me, I suppose, just like you kill everybody.
Shut up.
I got it, Mr. Dillon. It ain't no good anyway. Not now.
Where'd you get that gun, Brent?
I made it, Marshal.
Don't be smart.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Joe Stanger brought it to you. He tossed it to you right through those bars on the window.
I didn't know Stanger was in town.
Didn't you? Chester, get some boards and nail them over the window so nothing can get through it.
I'll fix it, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, wait a minute. Marshal, that's the only window in here. You can't board it up.
You'll get enough air.
No, but it'll be dark. I don't like it dark.
Don't you? When you get it fixed, we'll go to breakfast, Chester.
It won't take long, Mr. Dillon. It's been some time since I've been out on the plaza this early in the morning, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, weren't you up gambling all night last Saturday, Chester?
Oh, well, that's different.
Oh, how?
Well, I've been asleep all night this time. Things look different when you had a good night's sleep.
Yeah, they sure do.
You didn't have no more nightmares last night, did you?
No, but I didn't sleep well.
You ought to take some time off. Go out buffalo hunting or something.
Yeah, maybe you ought to take a lot of time off. Wait a minute, Chester.
What?
That's Joe Stanger coming in.
Hey, by golly, it is. What's he doing up so early?
Maybe he wants to find out why Jack Brand hasn't shot his way out of jail yet.
He won't throw him no more guns. Not the way I got that place boarded up now.
Get out of the way, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Morning, Marshal.
You're up early, Stanger.
Train leaves for Abilene in about an hour.
Going to Abilene?
I'll be back next week.
Jack Brandt'll still be in jail.
I heard you caught him.
Good friend of yours, isn't he?
Sure. But I ain't part of his gang. Never was.
Yeah, I know.
Of course, there ain't much gang left now.
No.
You're a pretty rough man, Marshal.
When I have to be.
Don't it ever bother you, killing people the way you do?
Stanger, I shot a gun out of Jack Bryan's hand this morning. You come by the office later, and I'll give it back to you.
Now, what would I want of a smashed-up six-shooter?
It's yours, isn't it?
I'm wearing mine.
I ought to throw you in jail, too.
What for?
To get you out of sight, if nothing else.
I wouldn't go to jail, Marshal. Not without a fight, I wouldn't. I ain't afraid of you. You want to try it? Go ahead. Go ahead, draw.
No.
What's the matter, Marshal? I thought you liked killing men. What's holding you back? You're going to have to fight me sooner or later.
Get out of here, Stanger. Go get on your train.
Wait till I tell everybody about Matt Dillon. How he's lost his nerve.
Get out, I said.
Well, I don't want to shoot down a man that won't draw. Not today, anyway. But I'll be back, Marshal. Next week.
Why didn't you shoot him, Mr. Dillon? He's nothing but a big bluff.
Chester, you go on to breakfast. I'm going back to the office.
What? Why, you told me...
You heard me!
Well, yes, sir. Okay, Mr. Dillon. A can full of coffee, Mr. Dillon.
Thanks, Chester.
I'm going to put it right here. What you doing, writing a letter?
It's a telegram. Here, Chester. Take this down to the depot, will you?
Sure.
I want it to go out right away.
U.S. War Department. What are you telegraphing Washington about?
That's my resignation, Chester.
What?
I'm quitting right now.
Why, you can't do that.
I've done it.
Oh, I don't believe it. You're funny.
A man can quit a job, Chester. I've quit jobs before.
Well, I know, but this is different.
What's different about it? The government doesn't own me.
But think what'll happen if you ain't marshal here.
There are other men can be marshal.
Mr. Dillon.
What?
You ain't doing this because of, well, what Joe Stanger said.
That I've lost my nerve? No, he's wrong about that. And he's wrong about my liking to kill men, too.
You never killed nobody unless you had to.
And now I don't have to. I'm through, Chester. I knew I was through when I didn't draw on Stanger this morning. I've killed my last man.
I just don't know what to say, Mr. Jones.
I've hated this job since the day I took it. Never did have a taste for killing, and now they can find somebody who has. He'll make a better marshal than I ever was.
That ain't true.
Go send a telegram, Chester. I'll be at Delmonico's having breakfast. And with a good appetite for a change. After breakfast, I went to my room and got some of the sleep I'd missed the night before. And I slept good. It was as though what was past. And none of it bothered me now. I didn't have to face it happening over and over again. And when I woke up, I felt better than I had in years. I even felt a little cleaner somehow. There wasn't going to be any more blood on my hands. Washington, as usual, was pretty slow answering my telegram. A week later, I still hadn't had an answer. But I didn't care. I'd quit. And that was that. I even began to enjoy myself for a change. Like the day I finally took Kitty fishing.
got another one.
Well, throw him back, Kitty. We got more than we can carry now.
I will not throw him back. I'll steal you.
Come on over here in the shade. You've done enough fishing.
Okay. Hey, look at him, Matt. Isn't he a beauty?
Yeah. He's bigger than any I caught. Why don't you throw him in the sack and then sit down here, huh?
Say, you're right. I didn't know we'd caught that many.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have a fish fry tonight, huh?
Well, we can feed half a Dodge with all those.
Well, I doubt it. You ever see Chester go through a mess full of fish?
The last time he starved himself a couple of days in advance. Maybe we can kind of sneak up on him tonight.
No. He knows we're out here.
Maybe you ought to go into the business, Matt.
Oh? What business?
Fishing. You could do it for a living.
Well, I am going to have to find something to do for a living, I guess.
Well, it won't hurt you to loaf for a while, Matt.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it.
You know something, Matt?
What?
I think this is the first time I've ever seen you that you weren't wearing a gun.
It is. And I'm enjoying that, too.
Someday maybe nobody will wear guns.
Yeah, maybe. You know something, I'm sleepy.
You're lazy. So lazy, you're probably going to starve to death before you find a new job.
I don't care.
Matt, look, somebody's coming on horseback.
No?
Uh-huh.
Hi. Well, that's Chester.
Oh, he's as lazy as you are. Imagine taking a horse to come this far.
Oh, Chester hates walking. Besides, he looks like he's in a hurry.
Maybe he couldn't wait for that fish fry.
Mr. Dillon. Hello, Miss Kitty.
Look in that sack, Chester. We got about 30 catfish already.
Well, that's fine, Miss Kitty, but Mr. Dillon, Joe Stanger's in town.
Oh? Well, it doesn't matter to me, Chester.
But you don't understand.
Understand what?
What I come to tell you. Stanger's at the Alfraganza. A while ago, he had words with one of the girls there, and she slapped him, and he pulled out his gun, and he killed her.
What?
Who was the girl, Chester?
Kate Hawkins.
Oh, no.
That's who it was, Miss Kitty. And then the bartender tried to stop him, and Stanger shot him, too. And I hear he's going to die. I grabbed a horse off the hitch rail and come right down to tell you, you've got to stop him, Mr. Dillon.
I'm not marshal anymore here, Chester. I quit.
No, that don't matter.
It does to me.
You mean you're going to let Joe Stanger walk around Dodge and shoot everybody that gets in his way, including women?
I'm through killing. I told you that.
Who's going to stop him then? You're the only man around here that'll go up against him, and you know it.
That may be true. But I'm still not going to do it.
Wait, Mr. Dillon. Wait a minute. I've been thinking a lot about all this lately, and there's something you've been overlooking.
Oh?
Men like Stanger and Brand, they got to be stopped. I'd do it if I could, but I can't. I ain't good enough. Most men ain't. But you are. It's kind of too bad for you that you are, but that's the way it is. And there's nothing you can do about it. Not now. It's too late. It's way too late.
Give me your gun, Chester.
Yes, sir. Want my holster?
I'll carry it in my belt.
Oh, Kitty. Chester will help you carry the fish back.
Sure, Matt. Sure.
Thank you.
produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Ray Kemper. Featured in the cast were John Daner and Lawrence Dobkin. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. You'll also enjoy Chesterfield's great radio show. Perry Como sings all the top tunes on CBS Radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Jack Webb stars in Dragnet on Tuesday nights. Check your local listings. Listen to Gunsmoke again next week.
Gunsmoke on Tuned to Yesterday from April 2nd, 1955 on CBS, the John Meston story Bloody Hands. That same story with the same director would be translated to television in February of 1957. It's an hour of radio westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. And now from the TV screen to radio, it's Have Gun Will Travel. John Daner, our star in this February 1st, 1959 broadcast with the same director and producer of Gunsmoke, Norman McDonald. It's the story, A Matter of Ethics.
My gun was handcrafted to my specifications. I rarely draw it unless I mean to use it.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Paladin.
Yes?
About that imported silk shawl you ordered as a gift for a lady?
Oh, yes. Very pretty.
But you didn't say about the color. Is it for a blonde or a brunette?
Why, I'm not sure yet. Perhaps you better leave one of each. Just tell the clerk at the desk to charge them to my bill.
Of course. Thank you, Mr. Paladin.
Ah, there you are, hey boy.
Oh, yes, Mr. Paladin. I have two messages for you. One from San Francisco City Jail. Mr. Holgate say he get your card and want you to come see him.
Oh, yes. He's the murderer who's afraid he'll be lynched when they take him back to stand trial in some little town in Wyoming.
Oh, and he say you better hurry. Sheriff come here and take him away on 9 o'clock train tonight.
And the other message?
Ah, pretty lady wait for you.
Huh?
Over there.
Oh, it's too bad.
What I tell her, Mr. Paladin?
Give her my sincere regrets, hey boy. Tell her later. I have a train to catch.
Even if you've had embarrassing dandruff for years, you can get rid of it now in 3 minutes. That's all it takes with Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. Yes, unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes with Fitch, quickest, easiest of all leading shampoos. What's more, using Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away. Just apply in the unique Fitch manner. Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. This way, Fitch shampoo penetrates right down to the scalp. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute. All that loosened dandruff goes down the drain.
in 3 minutes. With Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, dandruff's gone. At the same time, gentle Fitch can leave your hair up to 35% brighter. To get rid of dandruff problems forever, brighten hair too. Use Fitch regularly. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today, only 59 cents.
Just made it, mister. Hey, give you a hand with that bag?
No, thanks. I can manage.
You carry it like it was eggs. Most room up in the front.
Say, what's going on in there?
Why, I don't know.
It's that murderer. He's loose. Look out.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Get out of the way.
You seem to have gotten tangled up in an iron clothesline.
Get out of my way, you crazy fool.
Yes. Stop, Holgate. Stop right there, or I'll blow you in half with this shotgun.
Oh, you clumsy fool.
Well, Sheriff, why didn't you just pull the trigger and end it right here? You might as well have.
You just get back to your seat real careful-like. Take them leg irons off to make you more comfortable. You pay me back by kicking me in the head. You just catch me trying to be decent to you again. All right, now sit down. Take your leg out. And to you, mister, thank you.
Glad to be of help to an officer of the law.
You're only helping a man get lynched, that's all.
Shut up, Holgate.
If you don't mind, Sheriff, I'd like to talk to your prisoner.
Oh, sure. Sit.
Thank you. To Holgate, you got my card. I got your message.
You're a paladin? I figured you'd be on my side.
Who'd you say you was, mister?
The name is Paladin. And your name?
Sheriff Swink.
Oh, what is this, a cozy chat? Listen, Paladin, I hired your gun to turn me loose.
You're hired to turn him loose?
Mr. Holgate has his facts slightly confused. Would you mind pointing that some other way, please, Sheriff? Thank you. Now, Mr. Holgate, what makes you think you'll be lynched?
Easy. The town's named Bender, after Max Bender. It was his son caught my bullet.
How did you come to shoot him?
Oh, just an argument in a saloon. A few drinks. You know how it is.
You had a gun?
Well, he had one.
Oh, sure. It was home, on his dresser.
Well, how'd I know that? I didn't notice.
I see. Well, Mr. Holgate, tell you what I'll do. For $200, I'll see that you're delivered alive to stand trial.
You call that a bargain?
Man has a chance with a fair trial, but there's no debating a lynching bee.
All right. You'll get the money when I step into the courtroom.
Just to be sure, I'll choose somebody to hold the fee. When's the trial, Sheriff?
Circuit judges do it at the end of the week. We'll beat him there by, day, maybe.
And what are the chances of my employer here being lynched?
I reckon somebody's going to try.
Will you stop it?
Well, that'd be a hard decision to make.
But I can assume we're on the same side. Aren't we, Sheriff?
I reckon.
That puts two of us on the side of the right.
Well, don't crow, mister. Them ain't good odds with the whole town on the other side.
Never did like this town.
Don't worry, you won't be here long.
At least there's not a mob to meet us.
Nope. Just the Benders over there.
Who are they?
Max Bender, his daughter Amy. The town's named after the old man. Howdy, Max. Miss Amy.
Hello, Sheriff.
How'd you know we'd come in on this train?
We waited on every train. I wanted to see the man who killed my son.
He's going to have a trial, Max.
Yeah.
My brother didn't have a trial.
No, Amy.
Or a smart lawyer who might trick him to freedom or get him off with a prison sentence.
But the man who killed him will have a trial.
Who are you?
Paladin's my name. Mr. Holgate hired me to see that he isn't lynched.
So the gunfighters are all for law and order now, if the pay is right.
No, Miss Bender, you don't buy law and order. You fight for it.
Yes. Once you have it, you don't throw it away.
Your father knows how hard law is to come by.
There will be no trial. Your neighbors will come for him, Sheriff. I know you'll do what's right.
I think he will, miss. And so will you.
Seven nights a week on CBS Radio, most of these same stations present The World Tonight. On The World Tonight, ace CBS newsmen broadcast direct from where the news is developing, along with well-detailed eyewitness reports on current events. The World Tonight brings you lively interviews with people in the news. When big things are happening in London, Paris, Moscow, Tokyo, or Rome, they're all within speaking distance on The World Tonight. For a penetrating look beneath the surface of the news, CBS Radio invites you to hear Eric Severide's news analysis. Wise in the ways of the news, Eric Severide explores a particular and important aspect each weekday evening. Invariably, he comes up with new keys to understanding. Always interesting, always illuminating, Eric Severide's perceptive news analysis makes an exciting companion piece to The World Tonight. Listen for both of these fine news features regularly.
Oh, you can relax, Holgate. You're safe in there. Temporarily, anyways.
Yeah, but they'll be swarming around soon enough. You remember you got a job, Paladin.
To keep you from getting lynched, I'll remember.
Greetings, gentlemen. Just passing by and saw the light. Figured you were back.
Howdy, Mr. Coombs.
Holgate.
You didn't waste no time, Coombs.
My client and I must start preparing our defense. Oh, who are you?
He's all right. I've hired his gun. Name's Paladin.
Oh? Well, now, if we can have some privacy.
Oh, sure. Prisoner's got a right to have counsel with his lawyer. Let's wrap on the bars when you're through.
We still have some business details to arrange, Holgate. You tell your lawyer to turn the fee over to the person I name.
I'll tell him.
Sheriff, you mind if I bed down on one of these cots in your office?
Oh, it's all right. Then I'll be using the other.
I thought it was settled. We're on the same side.
I'd just like to be sure.
Any place I can lock this up?
Roll top desk. He's got a key.
Good, it'll do.
Hey, well, what's in that bag, anyways?
Just some of the tools of my trade.
What kind of tools is that?
The kind that might help quiet a lynch mob.
We give them Holgate. That'll quiet them.
I thought we were on the same side.
We are.
I'd just like to be sure. Which one is the Bender store, Mr. Coombs?
That one, up there.
Yeah, there's a noose hanging out in front.
Yes, that's Amy's doing.
And she's stirring the pot until it boils over?
I never suspected she had such a mean streak in her. She was always such a nice, quiet girl.
I guess it's frustrating for a woman. She can't strap on a gun and settle an affair like this with her own hands.
Oh, I hope this won't take too long. I have more important things to do.
Like figuring a way to save your client?
Something like that, yes. Mm. Shall we go in?
Bring him up by two.
Who's that with Coombs?
Well, what do you want here?
I want you to hold some money for me, Mr. Coombs.
Here it is. $200.
You're not to give it to me until Holgate steps into the courtroom for trial. If he dies before then, return it to Coombs.
You think I'll hold your blood money?
Blood money for keeping a man alive?
I'll hold that for you.
Dad!
Give it to me.
Thank you, Mr. Bender. Give him the money, Mr. Coombs.
Very well. There you are, Max.
Dad, if you won't help us, at least stay out of it.
How can I do that, Amy? I live in this town, too. Good day, Mr. Paladin.
Good day, sir. Amy, your father is a very wise man.
excuse me. I guess you don't need me anymore. I'll be in my office, Paladin. Miss Amy?
Look, Mr. Paladin, I just want Holgate to pay for my brother's murder. I don't want anybody else to get hurt.
So far, no argument.
Now, Sheriff Swink's not going to shoot at his friends, so no one will harm him.
Go on.
That leaves just you. But you're liable to kill somebody and be killed in turn, and there's no telling where it'll stop.
It would seem so.
You're doing it for money. What if I gave you more money to leave town now?
That's a definite offer, I take it?
Cash. I'll get it right
now. Wait. I'm afraid not. Switching sides is most unethical.
Unethical?
Did you ever see a lynching, Miss Bender?
No.
Your imagination would fall far short of the truth. No matter what he's done, Holgate won't be handed over to feed the animal instincts of the mob.
I told you, I don't want anybody hurt but him.
Amy.
Yes, Clint.
You need any help?
No.
The trouble with a lynching, Miss Bender, you can't have it ordered up all dainty, neat, like a yard of lace. It's something that cowards get whiskied up for and mumble over and wind up screaming in the gutters of a dark night.
Go on, get out of here. There's nothing you can do to stop it.
Isn't there?
Listen, mister. You take her advice, get out of town. A double blast from this shotgun ought to cut a man in half.
That man won't be any deader than a man with a .45 bullet between his eyes.
There's room enough out there in front, gunfighter, for another noose.
So there is. And earth enough to bury every man who comes to me with a rope.
Men, think how thrilled your wife would be if you made her a bedside table that swings on hinges like a gate and brings everything within easy reach. Or a beautiful built-in dispenser for paper towels, aluminum foil, wax paper, and plastic wrap. Or narrow folding doors to replace that wide closet door that blocks the hallway. These are just a few of the exciting ideas for living better on less money in the new Popular Science magazine, now on sale at your newsstand. It's crammed with new ideas, new products, new tips and techniques for lovers of cars, boats, woodworking, metalworking, photography, hi-fi. 282 pages, 380 pictures. There's even a special money-saving 20-page booklet on how to fix electric motors. It's bound right into the magazine. And this month, to win new friends for Popular Science, the magazine is now on sale at your newsstand for 10 cents off the regular price, only 25 cents. Get the new February Popular Science today. Look for the bright blue band on the cover. Popular Science Magazine.
What's going on out there? I didn't hear them.
I'm gathering down in front of the Bender store. I'm getting steamed up. They'll be moving before long.
Yeah. Well, you fellas don't be napping.
We won't.
What you looking at me like that for? What are you thinking?
Just wondering what you're thinking. You're mighty cheerful for a man about to face a lynch mob.
Well, I got confidence in you and the sheriff. I figure you'll give him what for.
Harlan!
Coming. Well, see you in court.
You better, or you don't get paid.
What is it?
Over here, have a look.
What?
Funny thing. See them two riders just leaving Coombs' place, heading down the side street, trailing a third horse?
Yeah, they look like two cowboys.
Yeah, and Willie and McKeith, Holgate's friends. Now, what would they be doing at his lawyer's?
Well, I got a better question to chew on. Who do they figure to ride that extra horse?
Yeah. Oh, I reckon that question's going to have to wait. They're getting about ready to move. There's another shotgun in the closet, Paladin.
No, thanks. Incidentally, Miss Bender says you won't use that shotgun against your friends out there.
Miss Bender's mistaken.
Sheriff, I'll buy you a drink after this is over.
Maybe.
Well, looks like everybody's here. I'd say we're all ready. What's the matter, Amy?
Nothing. Nothing's the matter. You bring him here.
Yeah, so you can put the rope around his neck. You just wait here, and we'll bring him to you.
Dad, What you doing with that gun?
Well, Max, you change your mind?
I'm going to the jail. Stand beside the sheriff and that fella Paladin against his mom.
Now, hold on, Max. You're getting turned around.
From the beginning, we had decency and law in this town. Now you're going to wipe it all out in one night.
Well, we're doing this for your son.
No, don't use my boy as an excuse. Get out of my way.
You better stay here and take it easy, Max. Now give me that rifle.
Clint!
Never mind. The sheriff will give me another
rifle. I said stay here.
Take your hands off me.
Dad, don't. Clint, don't.
All right, now. Come on. Let's go. Let's do it.
Dad. Oh, Dad.
I'm all right. But, Amy, what have you done?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't know it would be like this.
Well, here they are. And Paladin, you better get that shotgun.
I've got something better in the desk.
I get back, I'm warning you!
Now, wait a minute, Sheriff.
Hey, Paladin, what are you doing?
Opening the door.
No, no, wait!
All right. Hold it. Hold it. No need breaking down doors when you can open them with dynamite. All right, now. Here. Who wants it? You, big fella.
No.
Well, if nobody wants it, here. Just putting out the fuse. It was a long, slow burning one.
That crowd is still running. I don't blame them.
They won't collect again. Mob courage is a momentary thing. Once it's gone for good.
The street's clean deserted of them. Except over there. Yeah, there's Clint. Let's go after him, Paladin.
Now you go ahead. I got a client who thinks he doesn't have to go to court.
I'll nail Clint. We can tie this thing up.
Go ahead. I'm going back and check Holgate.
Willie, what's happened? I can't hear nothing. The crowd's gone. Something's wrong. Well, we better go ahead anyway. Now, whip your horses and pull out the bars. That's fine. You did it.
You hold it right there, Holgate.
Don't shoot!
All right, out there. You stay where you are.
No, I got no gun, Paladin!
All right. Just stay put.
You killed Willie and McKee. You're good. Awful good.
That's why you hired me.
Yes, but there's no call you get mixed up in this. You just collect your money and forget about it.
I couldn't do that. I can't collect until you walk into the courtroom.
Listen, Paladin, I'll make it $1,000 if you'll just walk away.
You don't understand. You hired me to get you into that courtroom. And that's where you're going, to be tried for murder.
Mr. Paladin.
Oh, hello, Amy. Mr. Bender.
Here's your money, Paladin. $200.
Thank you.
Now that Holgate's in court, there's a lot of people in this town that are grateful to you today. But it's not in their nature to come out and admit it.
Well, I'm admitting it.
And with such a long face.
I'm so ashamed. And confused. Why did you want me to hold your pay?
Because it's an honest face, too.
What? Well, come back to Bender again, Mr. Powell.
I'd be delighted. Goodbye.
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 Oh, Mr. Paladin, welcome back to San Francisco. You have a good trip?
More excitement than money, hey, boy. But it's good to be home.
I take you back.
No. I'll manage.
Oh, you have something valuable in it?
No. Just the tools of the trade.
Oh, big secret. Something to upset apple cart?
You might say so, yes. Oh, by the way, hey, boy. That pretty young lady who is...
Oh, yeah, she's still here and looks plenty lonesome.
Oh. Now, let's see. Was she blonde or brunette?
Huh?
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Beat on, hey boy. And forget the papers tonight.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Sam Rolfe and adapted for radio by John Dunkel. Featured in the cast were Jack Edwards, Jack Crucian, Virginia Christine, Olin Soleil, Roy Woods, and Vic Perrin. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
Have Gun, Will Travel, on Tuned to Yesterday from February 1st, 1959, featuring a stock of renowned CBS radio actors like Jack Crucian, Olin Soleil, Vic Perrin, and star John Daner. That brings to an end this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.